It is indeed time for Minnesota Reads on Northland Morning, and our guest this morning, patiently waiting, is Mark Neusel. He's the author of a new book called Canoes, A Natural History in North America, and what a book it is. Mark, good morning, and thanks so much for joining us.
Good morning. Thanks for having me on.
Hey,
you guys should give away a canoe as part of the pledge drive.
You don't happen to have one handy that you could make available, do you, Mark?
You know, we could talk about that. That might work.
Oh, I think that would be so cool. One of the things about your book, however, and we are actually, thanks to the good folks with your publisher at University of Minnesota Press, we have two copies of your book that we are making available for folks with a qualifying membership pledge this morning.
Excellent.
Now, this is a big book. I talked with the publisher yesterday, and I said I want to have the opportunity to go through this. Obviously, don't even worry about trying to overnight it to me. Send me the PDF. They took the PDF 2 hours to download, so it's a big book. It's a heavy on pictures, and it's really remarkable. Tell us a little bit about it, Mark. This is a really big topic. This is an amazing subject to tackle. How did you decide where you were going to start, where your focus was going to be?
Well, my co-author is a fellow by the name of Norm Sims, who lives in New Hampshire. He taught at UMass for a number of years. And I'm in St. Paul. I teach at the University of St. Thomas. And so we had known each other over the years through various journalism kind of gatherings. We're both journalists and journalism instructors. And we had done a book project for another publisher, and we shared an editor. And the editor took us out to lunch one day, and we spent the whole lunch yammering on about canoes. And at the end of the lunch, he said, "We got no work done, and you guys talked about canoes the entire time. Why don't you write something about canoes?" So we did.
Well, of course, as journalists, when your editor says or your news director says, write about this, you say, okay, and you just go right off, and that's exactly what you do.
And if you're like me, I'm really scared of news directors. So
oh, yeah.
I always do what they say.
Exactly. Exactly.
Right.
And then suddenly we became the grown-ups and we became the news directors. And how in that happen?
Not for me. No, that will never happen.
Oh, good. Well, that's. I'm just thinking about what I can ask you to do now, and you'll have to definitely write it up for me. So again, you know, it's like he says, write about canoes, you go fine. Then the two of you had to get together, had to have coffee and decide, well, where are we going to start?
What we're going to do, right? And so what we ended up deciding is that we wanted to cover the entire North American continent, which had not been done before. And we wanted a picture book as well as a book with some real content in it. And so it was kind of a two-pronged approach. We started with the text, and we divided up the chapters into a chapter on dugouts, a chapter on birch bark, a chapter on the voyageurs, a chapter on synthetic materials, a chapter on canoe tripping and canoe literature, and so on. And once we got the chapters kind of in order, we thought we need a really good forward or afterward, and we said, who's the best living writer in America today on canoes? And Norm and I both agreed that would be John McPhee from The New Yorker. So John graciously agreed to do the forward. He wanted to see the text first because he didn't want his name associated with something of subpar quality, of course.
Well, maybe what he really wanted, I mean, did you ask him that? Maybe what he really wanted was he wanted to make sure that his foreword was in context with your book.
Well, that would be a kind way.
See,
I'm thinking he wanted to make sure we could write an English sentence. But
well,
right.
I want you to give yourselves the benefit of the doubt. If I was going to write a foreword for something, I'd want to read it so that my foreword talked about what I had just read was relevant to the text.
Yeah, and he was great. He is a scholar and a gentleman and a true American treasure. He lives in New Jersey still. He taught at Princeton for years, and he just is a wonderful man. We're really appreciative of it. So after we got that part done, then we started with the photographs, the maps, the etchings, the paintings, everything else you see in there. And we actually commissioned two two oil paintings, original oil paintings from a St. Paul artist. We commissioned several maps from a University of Wisconsin River Falls cartographer. We started out with well over 1,000 images, and we whittled it down to about 350 or so by the end. But it was tough calls on some of those, I'll tell you that.
Now, when you started to look at the photographs, did you have a photographer in mind, or did you just say, we're going looking for the best photographs we can find, and then we're going to try to arrange to use them with the photographer's permission?
Correct, the latter. We kind of approached it with, let's get the best images we can, whether it be a painting, a photograph, a historical photograph, maybe it would be a magazine cover or an old map or what have you. And then at that point, we would seek who owned the rights to it and then acquire the permissions that way. And in some cases, of course, it would be families, or some cases it would be university holdings. And in some cases, the artist might still be living, or the photographer might still be living. So it was kind of a big puzzle, really, and it was really rewarding in the end to be done.
You know, I really don't like particularly the phrase coffee table book, because in a sense it seems diminutive of work that people have really poured their heart and soul in, and work that has really incredible content visually and in terms of the text. But there needs to be a better phrase for a book that you can't read in bed because it's just too big and or heavy.
Yeah, don't drop it.
So when you show the book, when you first presented the book, you know, maybe, at Christmas time and a couple of people got, you know, big heavy copies of it, or, you know, you show it to somebody and to a friend, how do they use it?
You know, the number one answer we get, and this probably relates to the fact that I'm in Minnesota and Norm is in New Hampshire, you know, the far northeast corner, is the number one response we get is, this would be great in my cabin.
Ah.
Or this would be great in my camp, in case of the northeast. So we're seeing, and I get emails and phone calls and stuff constantly, as does Norm, and it's from people who have received it as a gift or who have given it as a gift, and it's all about the memories. It's all about when they were kids at the cabin with Grandpa, or it's all about the boat they used to have and wish they still had, or maybe the boat that's still in the barn and help determine what kind of boat it is and that sort of thing. So it's really kind of touched a nerve among people, and it's a little bit of nostalgia, I think you'd agree, but it's an important part of the history of transportation in North America. You know, one of the things we stress in the book is really, we spend a lot of time on the Native American designs, the First Nations designs, and a claim that we make, which has proven to be kind of, at least gotten a lot of attention, is that the canoe is one of two artifacts that were designed by Native Americans that were unimproved by white settlement.
Wow. What's the other one? I'm curious.
Well, you're going to have to guess.
Okay.
Or by the book, of course.
But,
No,
of course.
No, I'm just kidding. No, it's the other one is the snowshoe.
Ah. Okay, absolutely.
You can think about it. Yeah, so what happened was, of course, when the French got here first in what is now Canada, the natives already had canoes and been building them for thousands of years, just like they had been snowshoes. And there was no way that the Europeans could improve on the design. And so they didn't.
It's a marvelous, marvelous book, and it is a treasure. It is the kind of thing, and not that there are not other places and times where you could really enjoy the book, but I really do picture that rainy day at the cabin,
right,
where you curl up with a cup of coffee in a corner or at the table and you just start paging through and reading this book. And again, as I mentioned, your publisher has made a couple of copies available, and so we're making those available to folks that call in with a membership pledge. Now we'll talk about that coming up in just a few moments. But Mark, thank you so much this morning for joining us. It was such a treat to look at your book, and such a treat to have you on the line with us this morning. Thank you again so very much.
Thank you. Thank you. And you guys are doing important work in Duluth, really an important. The radio stations that serve their communities just are our national treasure. I want to thank you guys for doing that.
Well, and thank you very much, Mark. We'll make sure that we write your comments down. And as soon as I let you go here on the line, somebody will be happy to take your pledge. Thank you, Mark. Mark Neuzel is the author of a wonderful book called Canoes, A Natural History in North America. He was our guest this morning on Minnesota Reads. Minnesota Reads is produced at KUMD with funding provided in part by the Minnesota Arts and Cultural Heritage Fund.